My mother is easily entertained. She just loves the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for space cadets. He stood on a corner in Wilcox, Arizona by mistake. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast coming at you today. And today is another beautiful sunny day in Arizona. It's in May of 2022, and it's just going to be a magnificent, warm, sunny day. You're really going to get tired of hearing me say that. If I open too many episodes with the weather forecast in Arizona, it's going to be boring, if nothing else. It's going to be repetitive, but that's the way we like it here. In the middle of summer, sometime there's a thing called monsoon. When the monsoon starts, it's going to be cloudy and overcast, and it's going to be rainy. And so that will be a kind of a difference, but that's probably not going to happen for a couple of months. Anyway, this is Doug Jones, as you just heard my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, say. I am your Medicare expert. And I'm here to help you feel good about crossing over from Obamacare to Medicare. And the benefits that accrue to those who cross over successfully are less money spent on Medicare premiums and more protection. You get more bang for the buck, basically, with Medicare, thanks to the American taxpayers. And since it's such a political hot potato or political third rail, I don't see that being destroyed by the politicians anytime soon. They can wrangle all kinds of other badly thought out economic ideas and theories that cause inflation and problems in the economy. But my view of the future is that the people over age 65 are such a strong voting bloc that Medicare is likely to be untouched by any politicians who want to steal money from the coffers, as it were. So one thing that we like to do at the beginning of some episodes is to play our 30-second radio spot. Randy Carson and I cooked this up a couple of years ago, and I still enjoy snapping my fingers and tapping my feet to the lively music bed. And so I'm going to shut up now and let Randy go ahead and pull the trigger on that.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. I don't ever get tired of hearing that description of how people should access all the knowledge that we're trying to portray or trying to convey to the listening audience. Anyway, we have when we do a podcast episode for Medicare for the Lazy Man, it's generally based on my book, which is on sale at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. If you go to Amazon and put in the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022, you're going to see that we have four editions. We've got paperback, we've got hardcover, we've got Kindle, and then we've got the audiobook. And for some reason, people are buying the audiobook like never before. I don't know why. Maybe more people are into audiobooks, or maybe I've just done a better job on this particular edition. But the audiobook is moving out the door like nobody's business. I thought the hardcover would be reserved for Christmas presents, but for some reason, people are buying the hardcover book. I don't know why, but I'm happy to provide it for them. And the biggest traditional sellers are the paperback book, which costs $8, and then the Kindle version, which costs $3.80. So I'm pretty sure that once you spend an hour to an hour and a half reading my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022, that you're going to know more about Medicare than almost everybody else in the United States, except those other people who have read my book. So you can count on a fairly inexpensive acquisition of knowledge by buying Medicare for the Lazy Man, making a stiff drink, reading the book, and then, maybe going back and taking a few notes if you're so inclined. And that is why we're here today, to promote the book and to help you understand Medicare. And when I say we, of course, I'm talking about Randy Carson and me. Randy is the podcast engineer who makes this thing sound much better than I ever could by myself. So, Randy, tell us how you work that magic, will you? Is it the buttons? Is it the slides?
Well, it's a combination of both. Most of the time, I just close my eyes and start, twisting stuff and sliding stuff, and it comes out somehow magically.
Well, it works, and I'm so happy that you're able to do that. And it's a repeatable skill. It's not like you're good at it one day and not so good the next day.
Well, because we've been doing this very close to 3 years, yeah?
No, I think it's a little over two years and 3 or 4 months. Now, when you work with me, it seems like it's been longer than it really has. So I understand that.
No, I don't mean that. I just thought we were getting closer to three. But anyway, long story short is I've got it and you've got it. As you know, we've got it pretty well down to a science. I think we could almost do this.
Standing on our heads?
Blindfolded.
Standing on our heads. Let's try that first.
That could be. We could do that standing on our heads. I thoroughly enjoy it because back in my high school days, you probably know what my nickname was, right?
Sparky?
No, close.
No.
Joe Gadge.
Oh, boy. Okay.
For Joe Gadget.
Gotcha. Well, there was an Inspector Gadget. Is it possible?
Gadget. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you something. I feel badly, and I probably owe you a blanket apology, because occasionally you add sound effects to the end of the podcast episode that are meaningful and funny, but I often miss them. And the reason I miss them is because the world's most severe critic listens to the podcast episodes with me. And at the end of the, when I say goodbye or whatever, I hit the stop button to find out what grade is going to be given for that episode. And I often don't let the music play out and I don't hear the sound effects or the effects that you've added to the end of the podcast. So I should be more patient and listen more carefully to what's going on.
Well, once in a great while, I mean, I've done it more often lately, but once in a great while, I'll put some, meaningful related sound effects at the end. I think it's worthwhile listening to them.
Yes, I agree. And I should do it more frequently. Well, might remember that last December, I got a phone call from our real estate agent saying, hey, I think we sold your house in Illinois. Come back to Illinois and pack up all your stuff. Well, that was a major piece of work that took 6 weeks. And during that process, I wound up taking all of my notes and my articles for podcasting and shoved them into this crappy briefcase that I found. It's a really weird, almost cardboard briefcase from the 1940s, maybe. And so that thing stares at me in my office here in Arizona. And so I thought what I wanted to do was to start clearing out some of the older stuff that's there and make room for new, fresh, exciting stuff. And I thought maybe I'd start with the mailbag stuff that I've got. I have things that I've had in my mailbag file for a long time, and I'm thinking that maybe too long. I've got to do something to clean house. So I thought today I would plow through some of the stuff, because I'm getting new stuff periodically that I say to myself, that's very interesting. Add that to the mailbox, and you'll make Randy happy when he goes to the Buffalo Chip, because all of his fellow patrons will then say, oh, hey, thanks for the mailbag items. But in reality, I get so excited about something and I leave the older stuff behind, and I shouldn't do that. When I get a piece of correspondence from a potential client or somebody who's asking a question and it sparks a thought, I put it in the mailbag file because then I know that it's probably going to be interesting to the audience if it was interesting to me. And I can't let these things get too old because they just won't be relevant anymore. So I'm going to start out with a kind of an old piece of correspondence that I got quite a while ago, I believe. And this is from a gentleman in Illinois. And he says, "You might remember that we talked a few years ago about my need for Medicare supplement plan. I'm now 69, recently divorced, and ready to leave my wife's corporate insurance plan and enter Medicare full time. I need a program. I want a deluxe package. Can you help me, or are you retired?" I'm never going to retire. So I said, "I will be happy to help you. Attached is a short questionnaire that will allow me to put together some options for you. If you would like me to identify the least costly prescription drug plan available," because that's what most people want. They want the least costly options that are going to do a good job for them. "Please fill out the attached prescription drug questionnaire and return it to me at your convenience." So then he gave me his list of drugs. He didn't fill out the form like I asked him to do. The form would have directed him in, to provide me certain information, but he decided he was just going to take a new email and list his drugs. And he did that for me. And I then worked up a plan for him. And I said, "Hello again. I have attached a chart of Medicare supplement premiums from the highly rated insurance companies I use in Illinois. You probably already know that Plan G provides the most comprehensive coverage, while high deductible Plan G is generally the most cost effective. You will notice that the lowest rate I have offered is by this particular insurance company. I strongly recommend that company for, among other things, its record of great customer service and rate stability over the long haul. And since the company is not always a familiar household name, I've attached their brochure for additional information." I said, "I generally recommend high deductible Plan G to those with average or better health. The attached chapter from my book explains the facts that make a high deductible Plan G an excellent choice for those who want limited risk while enjoying a very low monthly premium. Finally, I sent a printout of the least costly drug plans based on your prescriptions and pharmacy selections. In that attached file, you will see that I used the default choice for the quantity of one particular drug. And let's see, now if you look at the drug printout and it's not accurate, then please let me know and I will change it to make sure that the results are accurate." And so then he wrote me back, and this was interesting, I thought. He said a few things. First of all, drug coverage from the particular drug I take is not listed here. And he was right. I overlooked the one drug. I had to go back and redo the drug plan comparison in order to find the best plan that covered all of his drugs. And the next thing he said was, "I don't ever buy insurance from secondary carriers like the one you mentioned. Cost is the least of my considerations. I own 12 cars and I insure them all through State Farm. It's not the cheapest, but it's the biggest with bulletproof balance sheet. Do you see a theme here? When you and I talked for the first time several years ago, you wanted to put me into a Blue Cross plan. I'm still biased in favor of that, even though they are the most expensive here, with the assumption that their coverage is the most comprehensive of all. They are by far the biggest in Illinois, and I feel safety in size usually. I live a mile from the local hospital, so it's essential for me that I get coverage from all of the doctors that admit there or that practice there. I want a plan that will allow me to use virtually any doctor I want, including non-Northwestern physicians. And I had always thought Blue Cross was the best candidate for that. I don't shop at Walmart. I'm a Walgreens customer at this point, since my favorite drugstore, family-owned local store, has closed down. I was a customer there for 50 years. Bottom line is that cost is not a priority for me. I'll probably select a plan with the lowest deductible, too. I'm in good health and at the moment, but dealing with deductibles is a pain I want to avoid. I'm so clueless, I don't even know whether I have to sign up for Medicare part of this myself separately at some government office. Does all that help you understand my situation?" And so I took a deep breath and, you know, had a cocktail and got a good night's sleep. And then I wrote back. I said, "I am sorry for the oversight about that one drug I missed. Here is the revised drug selection or drug comparison plan. Attached is a revised projection of the three least costly drug plans. Once again, I used your specific prescriptions. And once again, I use Walgreens, not Walmart, as your preferred pharmacy. This time, your cheapest plan is from a company I don't even like to mention, and your total out-of-pocket expense from April 1st to December would be $1,183. I said, I don't deal with that particular company, so I wrote their telephone number down below the plan name in case you want to arrange for your own enrollment. And I said, one of the other ones shown is a fine company, but I've not established a contractual relationship with them for that product. So their phone number is there for you as well. So basically what I'm telling them to do is go enroll yourself in the plan of your choice. And the reason that that became a problem, we addressed a couple of episodes back. I had to find out a way to tell people, and I had not discovered that way by the time I was having this correspondence, to tell people that measuring the cost of the drug plan is the best way to determine its effectiveness. So if you give me a list of your drugs, and if you tell me where you want to fill your prescriptions, then I will plug that information in, and the system will line up all of the, say, 25 drug plans available in your area in order of cost. And the cheapest drug plan is the one that covers all of your drugs with very small or no co-payments. That's the plan you want to go with. That is the quality plan for your inputs, for your particular situation. At this time, I hadn't really figured out how to explain that as succinctly as I just did. So this is a guy that in that episode of a week or two ago, I happened to mention, I told him to take a hike. This is the guy who was irritating me because he kept saying that I wasn't giving him high quality coverage options. So moving on with the rest of my statement to him, I said the Medicare supplement company I discussed is a blue chip company for Medicare supplements, but they keep a low profile. Understated elegance, I would describe it. Unlike most other companies, when I call their service people, I'm speaking to Americans, Texans, in fact. However, I can certainly understand your interest in a local company, so I am happy to offer Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois as well. Until recently, I only had 9 cars. Remember, he said he had 12 cars, but I let 2 of them go in order to rearrange my garage capacity. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is a fine company, but their coverage is mandated to be identical to all other Medicare supplement carriers. There is no difference in benefits from one company to the next. As with all other Medicare supplement plans, you may seek treatment from any medical provider who is willing to accept Medicare patients. There is no network or geographical restriction within the U.S. and possessions when it comes to Medicare. The plans I sell also have a lifetime $50,000 benefit for emergency treatment in foreign countries. I heard that a former employee of the local pharmacy that you used to patronize has opened an independent pharmacy on the other side of town, so you might want to give that a try. And finally, I said, cost is always a priority for me. So I enrolled myself as well as my wife in high deductible plans many years ago and have never looked back. I want the most bang for my expenditures, and high deductible plan G's provides a lot of leverage for the small monthly cost. However, if you want the most comprehensive coverage, you are looking for Plan F, which you are old enough to qualify for. So the monthly cost for Plan F from the same company that you're interested in would be $238. If you compare that to their Plan G rate of $184, the additional annual cost would be $645. The benefit one would realize with a Plan F is not having to pay $233 annual Part B deductible. Once again, not a choice I would make to spend $645 extra just to have no deductible at all when the deductible is only 1/3 of that. That seems like the better choice is to go with the plan that has the deductible that's so much less expensive. Once again, this is not a choice I would make, but if you would like Plan F from Blue Cross Blue Shield or any other company, I'm happy to facilitate that. Rather than enroll in Medicare at a government office, I would go online to start the process. Thanks to coronavirus, you should be able to complete the whole thing without going near a government office. I hope this helps. So that was my way of trying to steer this guy who is a kind of a snot into some better choices and to understanding why I would make those recommendations. But he is not the easiest guy to deal with. And so I wound up telling him to take a hike later on. Only potential client I ever had to do that with. Okay. So enough with him. Here's our old friend, Steve in Texas. I have a bunch of notes that are barely readable, and I stapled it to a piece of correspondence that Steve and I had. And so let's see, what did I do? The first thing he said, seeing all those Medicare coverage ads, I figured that we should do an ad. I'll be the person looking for a Medicare plan. You be the insurance expert. I'll say something like, these Medicare Advantage plans look good, free in some cases, and all these has been sporting figures promoting them. You will say that they are great until you need some medical care and then go into the details. We can get some consumers group to sponsor it. And I said, that's a great idea, Steve. You line up the sponsorship and I'll talk Randy into doing the on-camera appearance. He's a lot more camera friendly than I am. I said camera family, but I think I really meant to say camera friendly than I am. And then I had a note stapled to it. The five worst Medicare Advantage plans compared, measuring tips and tricks for flex screen. I don't know what I was thinking. Free plans aren't really free. Targeted how to low income. I don't know what I was thinking. Make you get, these are things that Medicare Advantage plans do that people do not like. For one thing, they make you get a referral and permission from a doctor to see a specialist. They have very high maximum out-of-pocket costs. In case you need medical treatment, you're going to wind up paying a ton of money out of your pocket if you go with a Medicare Advantage plan in comparison to a Medicare supplement plan. Benefits, costs, and network changes. Yes, things can change, and they're legally allowed to change all of their benefits during the course of the year. So when they renew the following year, you find yourself with a plan that you really didn't want. You didn't bargain for it. You wouldn't have chosen it. It's become something that you did not want. And then let's see, very likely, if you have a Medicare Advantage plan, you're going to be very likely to see a nurse practitioner rather than a doctor. That's one of the ways they save money. Also, free plans aren't really free. They're targeted to low income and something else there, welfare, people on welfare. So that was my conversation with Steve. Oh, Jules. Jules is a frequent correspondent, and he says, question, what happens to our representation when you retire? Multiple scenarios on that one. Do we automatically get handed off to some arbitrary random agent? Question, do you check the prescription drug plans cost each year for us, or do I just go to the Medicare site and do that on my own? He says, oh, Doug, what a glorious day is today. My and Laura, his wife's, first day under our new high-value insurance regime. This is not my final thank you, but yet another in a long line of thank yous for what you have done for us. And then his questions come. Well, when I retire, you don't automatically get handed off unless you call the insurance company and say, hey, my agent croaked and I want to talk to somebody else. Then they'll find you somebody in your area that has a contract and is familiar with their products. But more likely, what you're going to do is you're going to call my number and my wife or the undertaker will answer the phone and they'll probably give you some runaround like, oh, yes, well, he's sitting with the angels now up in heaven. And I'm sure he's so happy and he died peacefully with his family surrounding him. I don't know what you're going to find, but I'm telling you, I'm not spending a lot of time preparing for my eventual departure from this insurance business because I'm healthy, happy, and ready to assist you at any moment. So then I said, let's see here. I wish everybody was as easy to please as you and your wife are. She is a lucky woman. I don't plan on going away anytime in the foreseeable future. If I drop dead or get trampled in an elephant stampede, my wife will be able to direct you to an associate that will be happy to assist you. Another option would be to call the insurance company's customer service line. They will make sure that any question or concerns that you have will be addressed. I'm not aware of an automatic process, but everyone involved wants you to be satisfied with the new post-Doug arrangements. Each September and October, you will receive an ANOC, an annual notice of change, that should give you warning if the drug plan is changing in some unsatisfactory way, like having a rate increase, for instance. Another red flag would be that your prescription needs change. Sometimes the name of the drug on the site does not exactly match what I was given. So in many situations, it's better for the client to use the step-by-step process on the government website because they are most likely to pick out the correct medications. However, I will be happy to do the calculations if you prefer. And this is the one, I think I've quoted him before, where he said, fun fact, my wife just went to the emergency room about an hour ago with a broken wrist. Breaking those new policies in. He's in a pretty good mood for having his wife just break her wrist. But I am I've enjoyed Jules's correspondence. And frankly, I know for a fact that his wife is in pretty good shape. So that is less callous than it would sound. I know Randy's looking at the clock going, come on, hurry it up. But I've got one more kind of moldy oldie, and I want to get rid of it. This is from Jules. He says, okay, this is the beginning of the one I was just talking about. I said, Laura has had some time to report the extent of her injury by now. How is she doing? And he answered, broken wrist, splinted, waiting to talk to an orthopedist, but at home. This may cover the deductibles for the year, with the emergency room, ambulance, and everything else. And I said, ouch, on more than one front. Hoping for a speedy, painless recovery and many years of positive cash flow from high deductible Plan G premium savings in the future. So that rounds out that other correspondence I had with Jules. And I can see by the old clock on the wall that I have burned up all my time and then some. Is that true, Randy, or does your clock have a different time?
Yes. No, we've definitely burned up our fuel.
Well, I don't know how interesting it was, but I did get some house cleaning done, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, I have one thing that I was thinking about doing, but I don't know that we have time. What do you think?
If it involves stumping me,
it was.
It's always painful.
I have some stump the insurance expert questions.
But they're never about insurance anymore. You used to at least have insurance questions years ago.
Well, you're too good at that. I wasn't getting any I don't knows. I need an I don't know every once in a while.
Well, I think the audience needs to be awakened after this episode. So why don't you lay a couple of stumpers
All
on
right.
me?
Let's do some stump Doug Jones, the insurance expert. And these are going to be about a topic that we touched on earlier in an earlier podcast called Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Oh, yes. Yes. I haven't seen it. I've always heard about it.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous location. I can't tell you. I mean, it's just gorgeous. I don't know what else I could say about it. But so I have three questions about stump Doug about Stone Mountain, Georgia, and they are not fill in the blank. You're going to have to know them.
Okay,
makes it even more difficult.
It makes it more likely that I'll be stumped.
Yes, yes, which is always good for me because then it makes it look like I actually spend a lot of time doing research.
All right, lay them on me.
All right. Stone Mountain, Georgia. Who are the individuals depicted on Stone Mountain, Georgia?
Okay. This is like a four-part question, right? Are there four individuals?
I'll give you a hint. There's only three.
Oh, darn it. Okay. I'm going to guess Robert E. Lee. Now, these are all going to be Confederate leaders of the Confederacy. So I'm going to say Robert E. Lee. I'm going to say Thomas Jackson, Stonewall Jackson. And my third guess would be, Jefferson Davis. He wasn't as well known. And I'm getting about ready to get a buzzer on that one, aren't I?
You are absolutely correct, Doug.
No kidding.
You always amaze me. I don't know how you must be some sort of a advocate of history of all flavors because you absolutely you pull it out. I don't know how you do it.
Some people call me psycho.
Well, that could be. I don't know. Now, here, this may be a little bit different. It's for me, it's not difficult because I know the answers. I'm looking at it right here.
Well, there you go. I'm going to try to read your mind while you're asking the question.
So who was the artist that was responsible for carving Stone Mountain, Georgia?
Boy, that's going to escape me. I'm not an artsy-fartsy kind of guy. And this would have been an artist with particular respect for the Confederacy. And most of your famous artists probably don't fall in that category. So I'm going to have to beg off on that one. I have no idea.
Well, I'll give you the answer. Gutzon Borglum.
Okay. See, that's good that I didn't even try.
The artist was Gutzon Borglum. And what else was Gutzon Borglum responsible for carving?
Okay, you're just looking for additional brownie points now, aren't you? I have no idea.
Mount Rushmore.
You're kidding.
I think it's interesting because obviously Mount Rushmore depicts an entirely different end of the world or political leanings than Stone Mountain, Georgia. But Gutzon Borglum was the artist that did both.
Well, I am very surprised to hear that because I would have thought Stone Mountain would have been drawn out or, you know, executed by a person who would not have been involved with Mount Rushmore. But that's very interesting. No idea.
All right. One more question. And this is probably, I think this is going to amaze the folks on the podcast.
Well, it's about damn time we amazed them with something, huh?
Officially, what year was the carving complete on Stone Mountain, Georgia?
See, I would have said the carving occurred in the 1800s until you told me about the Mount Rushmore guy. So I'm going to have to say 1922.
Well, you were close. You're only 50 years off. officially, the carving was finished on Stone Mountain, Georgia in 1972.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. You would have thought I would have known that at some point, but no, not me. And I can ask you what large carving out of a mountain is never, ever going to be finished?
Crazy Horse.
Yes, exactly right. And I figured that out when I went to see it on my way, you know, through the United States with our Corvette, our old guys traveling in old Corvettes. I saw that the infrastructure they've built to show tourists the Crazy Horse Monument is going to guarantee that it never will get finished because they don't want to lose their jobs. If they ever finish that monument, they got nothing to do.
Yeah, here's another bit of a trivia about that. The reason I was able to answer that question is that my folks were married in 1946.
Already, so were mine.
And about that time, I forget the guy's name, but he started carving on Crazy Horse in 1946.
Bought his first stick of dynamite then.
First stick of dynamite. Well, my folks, every year thereafter, or, you know, every couple of years thereafter, you know, at some frequency, my folks would go visit the Crazy Horse monument every couple of years, hoping to see something that would resemble Crazy Horse.
And nothing ever changed, right?
And unfortunately... I mean, if you look at time-lapse photography, you can see stuff disappearing off the mountain. But so far, I haven't seen any. Well, I haven't looked at it this year, but so far, I haven't seen anything that looks anything like Crazy Horse. But long story short, is it something that was very, very tightly tied into my folks' history and their wedding anniversary. So I do follow it regularly.
Well, there you go. You go to your grave long before anything significant happens with the Crazy Horse Monument. But I believe that they don't want to ever finish it because they send teams of people out around the country to fundraise. And I believe that this is only being used as a fundraiser and as a way to keep them gainfully employed, whoever they are. I don't know if it's the children of the guy who started it.
Well, I think it's his children. I mean, whoever this fellow was, I'll look it up. Not today, but he had like 853 kids.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
It's a family enterprise, and they are supposedly continuing to follow his guidelines and his mate. Supposedly, now granted, I have never seen these, but there's supposedly like stacks and stacks and stacks of very detailed architectural drawings that their dad made that they are continuing to follow.
I think they let people go. If you pay them a certain amount of money, I don't know, a few hundred bucks or whatever, you can actually go and remove a wheelbarrow full of rock from the Crazy Horse Monument. And that's another fundraising ploy they have.
Yeah, I think you can go to get some of the stuff that's, you know, fallen off of Crazy Horse's nose or something. But
right,
you know, this is going to sound crazy, but crazy about crazy. I would be so concerned that if I was the artist using things like dynamite, that I would put one last stick in there to do some little touch up.
Sure.
And I would blow his nose off. And I'm going, only 42 years and I blew the guy's nose off.
Yeah. But, and it looks like the Sphinx. but here's the thing. They've gotten a lot of practice building dams and stuff like that. Because if you watch these guys, old movies of these laborers, these guys blowing niches in the walls of canyons. Yeah. For things like the Hoover Dam or Boulder Dam or whatever, then you're going to find that they have it down to a science pretty much. What we don't have down to a science is ending this podcast.
I know we get to talking about, we can go from soup to nuts on just about anything, but we are going to have to end the episode because we're out of gas.
Yeah, we're out of gas. So I'll say goodbye and I'll let Randy wrap it up in a quick rapid manner, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Well, just a few little, Doug covered most of this early on the podcast, so I won't repeat it, but bottom line is get out there and buy your paperbacks. The audio seems to be a very popular thing right now. Kindle is available, so get out there with your credit cards and your keyboard and buy something from Doug, because it's going to be something you'll never regret. As you've seen over the last 2.5, you know, creeping in on 3 years, there's a lot of people have saved a lot of money following the advice of Doug Jones, who is clearly an insurance expert. And I just wanted to say thanks for joining us. We always enjoy it, because without you, we wouldn't have nearly as much fun as we do. We are looking forward to seeing y'all again next time. But today, you have spent about 32.5 minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, and now the guy that is signing off for today from his fortress of solitude in where? Cave Creek, Arizona.
Bye-bye.